I'm on my way.
Keep it in.
Morning. My name is Sibongile Maputi. I'm from PMG.
Good morning, Mr. Rasmus, from the session.
Continuously like this, because we never
Thank you, honorable member. Thank you, FCCO, for this opportunity. On the slides that were sent to honorable members, page 2 reflects there the executive summary. In the previous meeting, it was reported that the department embarked on the reconstruction of its immovable asset register in November 2011 and has completed an extensive exercise. To meet three objectives. I don't know why this thing is here. Analyzing the DIPS database and other relevant asset registers, information sources to assist in determining which properties are national, which properties are provincial, and which properties, thank you very much, sir, and which properties are under the custodianship of other custodians in government. Second objective is to define a fair value model which will be applied to properties as the carrying value going forward. The third objective, defining a new operating model to better manage the immovable asset register and DPW's concurrent mandate function going forward. This is a critical area that I would like to maybe highlight further to the members, that whilst you embark on the project to enhance your asset register, you need to make sure that you maintain that asset, that immovable asset register, that tomorrow you don't end up having to do it what you did before and you have to do it again. So this operating model is a critical area that we as a department need to look, are looking at to ensure that there's an operating model both at our head office and our regional offices to keep the system alive, because it's a live system. This reconstruction exercise has identified a significant amount of work that is required to resolve a multitude of unresolved legacy, which I'm sure the member, the honourable members are aware of, and this requires extensive interactions with the Department of Rural Development, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, which is one of the other big custodian at national government. Provinces, we know we've got 9 departments of public works. However, there are multiple custodians in some of the provinces, National Treasury, and other stakeholders. For instance, I'll mention the Department of Water Affairs. Giyama indicates Section 4.1 indicates that the Minister of Public Works is custodian of immovable assets under the national government, save for the immovable assets that are assigned to other ministers by legislation. So Department of Water Affairs being one of the departments where the minister is a custodian of assets. The approach adopted by the Immovable Asset Register program will ensure that a baseline compliant Immovable Asset Register is produced covering all required assertions, meaning to ensure that our asset register complies to all the accounting requirements, and that it's complete, which is the critical thing. We've had several meetings, many meetings. We have constant engagements with the Accountant General and National Treasury, and their view is that if you don't get this complete, don't worry about other things. Get it complete and get it accurate, and then we can worry about the other things. So our main objective is to ensure that each and every custodian, as mentioned prior in my presentation, knows and understands the roles that they need to play as custodians of these assets, both from a property management to ensure that they implement Giyama, and to ensure that the accounting of these assets is done as per National Treasury guidelines. The gaps identified indicate that a significant amount of work, including physical inspection, is required to comply with National Treasury and audit requirements, as current compliance level is in the region of 40 to 50% completeness. DPW is in the process of completing data analysis and cleansing that arose from the deep comparisons, and I expected to complete this by the 30th of the next month, and second phase, which is the 30th of December. Now, this deep comparison, it has never been done in the department in the manner that we are conducting it currently. The deep registry, the register, is an authoritative source of registered land in government, and should the custodians not align and link their immovable asset registers to the deed register, then we might be shooting in the dark. So we are doing the thorough reconciliation against the deed register. The trans data will form the basis of physical inspection from October, next 2 months from now, to August 2013 to confirm information required to comply with requirements. The position with the provinces and compliance with the National Treasury Sector Specific Guide, which is the guide that stipulates who is responsible for what in terms of immovable asset register in government, who is responsible to manage, who is responsible to account for these assets, will be regularized by March 2013. So what we're saying here to the members and the chairperson, we are saying by March 2013 we will be clear who does what. The critical thing, if you want to get your immovable asset register clear and avoid duplications and avoid omissions that were had in the past. Our target is to have a substantially complete and compliant asset register by March 2013, substantially so, with required follow-up remaining gaps to be completed by September 2013 after the physical verification in August 2013. Continuing on the executive summary and highlighting the key successes thus far, DPW has put together a clear plan outlining what needs to be done to produce a baseline compliant immovable asset register. This was done after identifying the gaps both in our immovable asset register, and we've also looked at immovable asset registers for provinces, rural development, all of them reconciled against the deed register. gap analysis on what information needs to be there for, in order for the custodians to pass the test was also done. And then we then came up with a plan to highlight then if these are the gaps, what then needs to be done. So this plan is in place, and this information will be collected through physical verification. Our time spent on extensive analysis, research and consultation with relevant stakeholders has confirmed the complexity and the extent of work required, which was addressed in prior projects. We have engaged extensively with stakeholders, as highlighted earlier, such as the AG. The expectations from this program, we keep on involving the AG as to what is the plan is going to unfold. We keep them in the loop. The accountant general on the requirements, and we as the National Department of Public Works also inputting into the guidelines that also informs what the provinces, how the what and how the provinces need to manage their immovable asset registers. The provinces to also confirm our plan. We are not working alone, we're working with them. We are again meeting with the AG during this month. We're having several meetings. The reason why I'm saying this August 2012 is because I'm trying to indicate the continuous engagement that we are having with the AG to confirm what the deliverables of this program are. We have developed a custodian framework which will inform disclosure requirements and provide clarity going forward. Now, this document had never existed before. There's legislation that could have given other ministers assignment of custodianship for immovable assets. We looked at all the legislation and put together this custodian framework and liaised with this custodian so they know what their expectations are if they are to play their custodial function in an efficient and effective manner. We have developed a fair value model to value the immovable asset register by March 2013 and a compliant capitalization policy which never existed before to ensure the immovable asset register remains properly valued going forward. Currently, we are valuing all our immovable assets at 1 rand as per the National Treasury Guidelines. However, the National Treasury Guidelines stipulates you can only use 1 rand if you can prove that it's impossible for you to reconstruct the cost on the immovable assets. So we've been doing that. So this capitalization policy will assist in the department on how this expenditure that the department incurs on capital works is then disclosed in annual financial statements. The key challenges and risks. It hasn't been a smooth journey since the inception of this project in November 2011. For instance, you would get hiccups here and there, which we elevate, I mean, to the acting DGs and minister as well, to stakeholders such as the DEEP, where you would find that this authoritative source, which we are reconciling our asset registers against, I mean, it's got a variation of names. I mean, there's about 153 variations. Naming conventions is not the same as what we have in our asset registers and the provinces as well. So it becomes it would become a hiccup if you reconcile your asset registers against the DEEP register. So it's a continuing exercise, and it will not end when this project ends. The Chief Surveyor General, they are surveying all the state land as we speak, and there's a date planned for the completion of the surveying of land parcels for the state is the 31st of March 2014. Now this is the key dependency on some of the key performance indicators related to immovable asset register, and we are finding ways as we go along this project to have meaningful and better discussions than what we used to in the past. mobilizing sufficient resources in time, given that significantly more work is required than originally anticipated due to, number one, unresolved legacy issues. If I may make this example, the devolution of provincial properties. When the Department of Public Works embarked on the first immovable asset register project in 1995, provincial properties had been included in the program. However, the process of checking whether these properties had been properly transferred to the provinces had been a challenge, and this is what this program also seeks to address. And this is based on the function for the province as the constitution stipulates. And expectations arising from data analysis and these comparisons, as I've indicated, 153 variations, naming conversions not similar. We still have properties registered in Afrikaans, all these different names. There is still a material risk attached.
Is there documentation where this figures from the Council Act? Because as the ladies for the new system contains some geographic.
Okay, let's do this first.
Why I'm off the record?
Yes, it is fine. I think you are correct, but this is an opportunity, but weapons are quickly from the minute. Not ever. So, maybe suspend it. When do you have a chance to be here? I mean, you ask them and see them and then you have a chance to respond. Keep that question. Continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mobilizing the requirements of DPW's concurrent mandate. We know the role that DPW needs to play in terms of giving guidance and supporting other spheres of government. However, it would not be possible if we do not capacitate ourselves in the Department of Public Works to ensure that this actually happens. And we, as the three spheres of government, start speaking with the same voice. Implementing a revised operating model to continue maintaining the immovable asset register, I've highlighted this issue. Incorporating work previously performed or performed by other state departments in line with our timelines. For instance, you would find some of the departments that still are conducting physical verifications in their assets. For an example, the defense, for a different purpose. The reason why they conducted physical verification on defense immovable assets was to compile the user asset management plans as required by GIAMA. This information we are trying to liaise, we are liaising with the user departments to ensure that we do not reinvent the wheel as government. The Chief Surveyor General State Land Audit, which is planned to be completed early next year. We are also engaging them to see how we can streamline both the programs, the state land audit and ours, and our program. What happened here? Does somebody come help me here, please? Something at the bottom, I think. Thank you. The index to the report is as follows. What I just did now, I just gave an executive background on a summary on the project. So this slide just indicates what is covered in the presentation. the background to DPWC Rural Asset Register. I did indicate that the first immovable asset register project was conducted in 1995. Prior to 1994, there was no comprehensive computer-based register of state-owned immovable assets. Information on assets was captured in a variety of disjointed inventories, most of which were manual, paper-based systems. In 1995, the Department of Public Works, under the leadership of Minister Khadebe, commenced with the compilation of a comprehensive computer-based inventory of removable assets under the control of both national and provincial custodians. The project was undertaken with the assistance of private contractors and completed in 1999. The information that was gathered during this four years included physical addresses of properties, cadastral description and extent of land parcels, utilization and uses of properties, zoning and potential use of properties, and photographs and footprint sketches of sites and improvements. However, as we moved on along, you check this asset register against your requirements from National Treasury, and you find the gaps in the program that was undertaken. And then in 2005, we then introduced a program on immovable asset register to enhance this information that was included in the first project or program rather. And this program took a span of 3 years, 3 financial years, from 2005 to 2008. However, this project focused only on 33,555 units, not land parcels. We have had challenges, we have come through, and the manner in which the report had been done in the department has changed significantly from us reporting, combining the number of land parcels and the improvements that are on top, to where we are now saying we cannot count a land parcel and the improvement on top because it's still one property. So you can't say if you have a land parcel and then you have a property, it's two properties. Because buildings don't exist on air, they exist on a property. So you then count as one. So at this stage, they were still counted as two, and then, which is why then you see what was done at the time, 33,555 land parcels, which then translates into only 11,000 land parcels. The program included the linking of land parcels with improvements. Because what we then found out was that during the initial exercise, you would find that properties were registered in the electronic system, which we call Property Management Information System. However, you would still find some buildings hanging on air. They were not linked to the land parcel. So that project had to address this linking of a land parcel to an improvement. Measuring floor areas of buildings where such information was not previously captured, establishing use and identity of occupants, capturing servitude rights over selected state properties, and capturing photographs, drawings, and footprints of the improvements for the selected properties. In 2007, December, there was an overlap on the project when we then found out as a department that accounting requirements must be addressed. Servcon and Interside Solutions were further appointed in December 2007 to verify what National Treasury terms as essential information in our asset register, meaning the information which we have to have in our asset register if we are to pass the test based on the guidelines that National Treasury has. and then obviously then what the AG would audit us on. In 2009, there was a resolution between the DPW and the service provider to put the project on hold due to verify the quality of information that Safcon and Interside were collecting. We thought that before we realize and wake up too late, let's rather walk and see if we are getting from the service provider what they were intended to collect as per their key performance indicators. And it was found out that the quality of information was lacking. The initial project had meant to be about 200 million plus or so, and then what we managed to then pay the two service providers, Safcon and Interside, only amounted to 10 million, meaning we verified the information that they collected and we only paid for what we had verified as correct. And then the project was then lost. Maybe let me just maybe say that Interside, Safcon, the contract was then wrapped up between DPW and Safcon. However, Interside still feels that they did the work and they must be paid 100 million odd, so the case is now in court. We are debating, we cannot pay for information that's of no quality whatsoever. DPW's immovable asset register is incomplete and inaccurate, and has been highlighted by the Auditor General for the past 3 years. Had this project served what it was intended to achieve, we would not have gotten that qualification 2009-2010. However, because of the project being put on hold, we got a first qualification 2009-2010 on immovable assets due to incompleteness and accuracy of information, which leads us to why we are where we are, why we are embarking on this new program to ensure that essential information as per national treasury requirements is captured in our asset register. Applicable assertions, I will not go deeply into the slide. The assertions that the AG, basically on the left, on my left, is what the accountant general says, all of you custodians, national, provincial, this is what your asset register must address: completeness, accuracy, reliability, ownership, existence, valuation, presentation, and disclosure. If one of them is not there, then it means we can't tick the box. So the approach then that this project seeks to address this assertion, as I've indicated, for completeness, you can never really say your asset register is complete until you've done a reconciliation of all the other data sources for relevant custodians. And I've highlighted the key dependencies that we have from the DIS registry, from the Chief Surveyor General, because you can't say your asset register is complete if your land is still unsurveyed, because they will still find gaps in your asset register. If your land parcel is not surveyed, you won't have an extent of your land parcel, and an extent is one of the minimum essential requirements that stipulated on the guidelines. So that's why I'm saying there are those interdependencies. The program on the page, basically the program at a glance, if you look at our focus on March, the achievable for March 2013, we are saying for March 2013, after having done all this, the yellow would basically indicate that the information, the work package is on track, and then the orange would basically mean that we do have some, it's still work in progress, and then the green would basically mean that we have completed. Now we're saying by March 2013, state land audit information must be incorporated into the project, which is from the Chief Surveyor General. And we're saying the focus for 2013 is on completeness based on this and accuracy improved given data, plans and field work, which will have been done thus, up to March 2013. We are saying we've got 12 regional offices within the 9 provinces. The reason being, some provinces were split into 2, Gauteng and Eastern Cape. So we've got 11 regional offices. So we're saying as a first wave, which will be addressed by March 2013, is those 6 regional offices. Gauteng, the 2, both Johannesburg and Tshwane, KZN, is the biggest where most state land under national custodianship are. Western Cape, Free State, and Northern Cape. Now we're saying if we do this as a wave one, phase one, we basically would have done 60 to 70% of the work. And then thereafter, between March and August 2013, we will then do the wave two for the remainder of the regional offices, the remaining 5 regional offices. Going back to March 2013, position with provinces, I indicated earlier on, it needs to have been spotted by March 2013. We need to have completed the recon between our asset registers and theirs to remove the confusions and duplications that the AG is currently finding. And then the remaining accessions will be addressed further to between March and August on the second wave, so the second wave, yeah, as when we do the remaining 5 regions. So what will also be achieved by March 2013 is that the fair value I indicated earlier on is one of the objectives of the program. We'll be able to then, based on the model that we are developing in the department, we'll be able to have values, fair values on our immovable assets, and we will not disclose on one rent as was done previously. The model that we are proposing is that the 3 spheres of government, and if we do not work together, then we are wasting taxpayers' money. We are saying, if my house or the honorable member's house is paying the rates based on the municipal valuation that's conducted by the municipality, one of the 283 municipalities, why can we not piggyback on this process and work together as government and use these values to disclose on annual financial statements, then go and do the same job which another sphere of government has done. So this process, this is what the model, the thinking on the model is. What we're going to do now, we've already presented that to the AG, as I've already said, we have constant engagement, and then the next step will then be to present it to the National Treasury to check if they are accepted, they are warm to the idea. But the valuation, I could go on and on about this issue, but we feel that as the state, it would be a waste of taxpayers' money to go and reinvent the wheel. Number one, if you go and value a property, the shelf life is 3 to 6 months. And then because the market is volatile, it changes. Then does it mean then that the number of properties that I will show later, that I have to do them every 3 to 6 months to value them, with the cost that we as government do not have, the resources, and the resources not only on cost but also on the valuers in the country. We do not have that skill in abundance in the country, so we are saying let's see how we can work together as government. The key results of the analysis that's conducted thus far, here are the numbers. Out of the records that we got from the deep register, which is about 67 million, the total state land, that is only registered land, because the deeds register will only reflect the land that is registered where you have a title deed. we have about 182,345 land parcels. These do not include the improvements, because you only register the land parcels and not the improvements. And now, out of this 182, what was identified as provincial is 111,937 out of the 132. And from identified as rural development, as we know, they are the custodians of immovable assets in the former TBVC space, 25,258 land parcels. And now, this national sector specific guide I referred to earlier, that we need to comply to when we disclose on our annual financial statement. It says that if no custodian, province, or if a province doesn't disclose an asset in their financial statements, then national must disclose, irrespective of whether the property is used for the provincial function or not. So if the property is not disclosed in a province, then we as national have got to do that, which is why we are using the deemed, because I mean, I did say that there's variations of names there, but most of them would say RSA, for an example. Now, when you vest the property, then you change the name as per the section 239 of the interim constitution, and then schedule 28(1) of the constitution 1996. Then after you vest, you then get an item 28(1) certificate that specifies whether the property falls under national or provincial government. So there has been confusion up to this far as to who discloses what in the asset register, which is why between the two spheres of government, national and provincial, we've been getting qualified opinions, I mean, in our case, a disclaimer, where you would find duplications in what we are disclosing in our annual financial statement and even omissions. As a result of quantifying the above position, extensive engagements and confirmation with other custodians is required before finality can be reached. We are working together, as I indicated earlier on, and initially we had been meeting quarterly with the provinces, but now we have proposed that we meet with them on a monthly basis, that we put all these properties on the screen and then we go through all these records one by one, so that we make sure that all these duplications are eliminated and that we don't eliminate any of the immovable assets. We are in the process of analyzing and confirming above statistics. The reason why I said that you might ask why now am I confirming this statistics? I'm saying it is the case because of that issue where I'm saying this register, there are so many names that during the reconciliation process, some of the properties would have been left out of this. But these ones are the properties that were identified initially. So we are working together. So we are saying by 31st of March 2013, these discrepancies will be addressed. National Department has previously disclosed, if you look at our annual report, 35,859 properties to be precise, land parcels. However, during this reconciliation process, you go to the deeds register and you've got to check that what you've been disclosing is truly, because we've been disclosing what was in our asset register, what is in our asset register. But should we be disclosing that 35,000? That's what we are trying to find out, if the number is correct. So far, out of the 35,000, we have confirmed 27,000 properties by reference to ACTEX, which is the register from the deeds. It specifies the names under which the property is registered. So all the national department government properties 27,000 has been verified thus far, and then the verification is continuing thus far. The remaining is currently being analyzed, and I did say I'll go back to that. We are anticipating that by the 31st of March 2013, this will be complete. It will, however, require a lot of capacity, which I shouldn't raise in this forum, but I'm just saying that these are the kind of engagements that we're having internally, that if we need to meet this target for March 2013. Now, I indicated earlier on that some of the discrepancies that were found by the AG is that the properties that were initially registered in the asset register for national government in 1995 to 1999, which are provincial assets like your schools and hospitals, they are still sitting in my asset register, because you cannot delete a property from an asset register. What you can do, you can archive that property and then you ring fence it, but you do not disclose it. Now, what we found out is that some of these properties, they don't exist in any of the provinces on the provincial asset register, meaning that there is a gap. Now, these 50,000 properties, we are now reconciling against the provinces. We have done around one-on-one provinces with our regional offices and the provinces, and then provinces are in the process of verifying this number, which ones would then be under their custodianship. We have confirmed that 16,000 of these ought not to have been there. I'm wrong. We have identified that 16,000 of the 50,000 are indeed provincial properties that we are still required to disclose, as they have not been vested yet. I indicated earlier that the sector-specific guide indicates that provinces only disclose properties that are vested in their name, meaning it's no longer RSA, and it's in the name of a province, like it would be Western Cape government. Those that are not vested and they're still remaining in the names, there are one of the either 153 variations, would then be disclosed by the Department of Public Works. So this process is continuing. We are meeting with the provinces, as I've already indicated. Now, continuing with the position with provinces, on my presentation earlier, we indicated that the properties that are state, that are national and provincial assets, from the provincial assets from the reconciliation done against the DIS office is 111,937 land parcel, which is the one in yellow on top there. And then there's a spread there per province, which you can see on the slide. Number of records as per the AG. What we have done, because we are working, continuous meetings with the AG, they have then provided us with a list of the province, assets that the provinces have disclosed for 2011-12. And then these numbers are in orange there, 56,345. Now the question would be, it would mean that perhaps the half is not vested, which is why some of them are not, which is why the total is not 111,000. But that needs to be seen to see why the numbers are varying. The number of records as to the provincial asset register, the Department of Public Works does reconcile the asset register on a continuous basis with the provinces. What we got from the provinces was 29,650. Now, this presents a challenge if you look at all those different greatly varying numbers. And then you begin to ask yourself, what is what here? This is the issue that we are saying. We are going to be meeting with the provinces on a monthly basis going forward to ensure that these numbers are in time. some of the properties that are tier provincial names out of the 111, it's 106. And then there are obviously the properties that are under the boards, like your housing board, your village management boards. It's about 2,071. And then you also have properties that are under some educational or hospital and road trustees, and they amount to 1,200. And then education, 2,022. So this is basically a slide that shows the breakdown of what exists, what each province is custodian of, based on that recon that we did with the against the deeds register. However, there are discrepancies. If you look at the top one, that the numbers we still do not tally, which is what we need to work on. The vesting process. Our focus to date has been on laying the foundation to address all assertions required to produce a baseline compliant immovable asset register. We are aware that progress on vesting, and this is based on the statistics that we get from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, as the competent authority, Minister of Rural Development is a competent authority that issues this item 28-1 certificate. All the statistics that we are providing here are based on the facts from Rural Development. It is apparent that we are significantly behind target at all levels of government. We only vest land parcels, so if you take my 35,000, then it would mean that DPW at national, I'm 40%. Rural Development, 33% complete. Provinces, only 16%. And then you have seen the numbers, which I will flash again lately to see, which have already flashed, that DPW has got on the slide here, the deemed 45,000, which still needs to be verified, and Rural Development 25, and then provinces 111,000. Now, if you are already at 16%, then it would mean that if we are to meet our target of 31st of March 2014, something drastic has got to happen, both in terms of resources and capacitating the provinces to ensure that we meet this target. DPW and Rural Development might finish on time. However, if the provinces have not concluded vesting, we will still not have concluded the vesting. There will still be those discrepancies when we disclose in annual financial statements and the completeness assertion, and other assertions would also be affected, and this could also lead to other qualified opinions from the Auditor General. We have completed the design of required interventions to address the vesting backlog in consultation with Rural Development, and some of the provinces, nominated provinces, are also part to this vesting task team that meets on a bi-monthly basis, on a fortnight, bi-monthly basis, and will implement the revised processes by September 12th. This process is intended to look at all the bottlenecks in the entire vesting process and ensure that we intervene to address the vesting backlog. Progress statistics and proposed interventions provided in appendix, which I will show later. Okay, here what we are reflecting to the members is an action plan on the concurrent functions, national and provincial public works. These are the issues that we have highlighted, 8 of them. There are concurrent functions between national and provincial public works custodians. The first one is to address the management accession. The second one, the capitalization of state immovable assets. We are basically saying here, if this model gets approved at the Accountant General for the valuation, it needs to be applied as well at the provincial level. We want to introduce a uniform approach going forward, and the vesting of state land, the concurrent function, the serving of state land. The serving vesting is dependent on surveying, meaning that if you cannot vest unless you have surveyed. So what we do then, we then co-opt the Chief Surveyor General in our meetings to ensure that we all speak from the same page. Devolution of immovable assets to provinces. I indicated there those 50,000 properties that we still need to address and are in the process of addressing. Compliance of immovable asset register to relevant prescripts. Custodians of state immovable assets. The framework that I'm saying for the first time was developed to ensure that all the custodians of the state understand and they do perform their responsibilities as required by the relevant prescripts, both in property side and accounting. Operation Bring Back, those are the issues that we have highlighted. And when we meet with the provinces, as I said, we were meeting on a quarterly basis. These are the issues that we would discuss with the provinces, but even in between times, we share common guidelines across this action item, and now it's going to be on a monthly basis. This is the vesting factory that we have put together to try to highlight the processes investing and then show where the bottlenecks are. And then this is the vesting factory. Basically what we are proposing to the Rural Development Department as a competent authority to issue the item 281 certificate is that we look at issues that have been highlighted, all the challenges across the process from 1 to 6 have been highlighted, and then intervention measures have been suggested. And then when we meet with Rural Development, as I indicated that by September next month we're having a meeting with the provinces and Rural Development, we'll be discussing, and we need to then see how this we fast track the vesting. Mainly we're looking at the issue of bulk vesting without necessarily compromising the quality of information that will be addressing. On this slide, this is the number of land parcels that are vested in the National Department of Public Works. Why it's indicating province there is that when we get the stats from Rural Development, they give the stats per province. I indicated that we've got 11 regions, but they give the stats per province, which is correct. So what we do, we just split the GP, Gauteng, and then we split the Eastern Cape between the two regions in those provinces. So as at 30 June 2012, 13,379 land parcels had been vested, which comes to 40% if you look at the total number of land parcels. And here on the fourth column, we are showing what had been done from December 2011 to June 2012 to highlight the slow pace of vesting, which we really, really need to ensure that we fast track if we are to meet the deadline for 31st of March 2014. Basically, if in 6 months we have done 327 land parcels, and we still have 19,000 to vest, it would mean that we need to triple this amount per 6 months. So we are highlighting this, and we need to ensure that capacity is put here, because we need to complete this. Needs to happen. And then this slide depicts the cumulative vesting steps from April 1994, this is cumulative, to 30 June 2012. Provinces, we've highlighted in red there, not because of any other reason except that we wanted to highlight it to the members. And that is slow. We have indicated that 16% of the 111,000 land parcels. And then we have distributed that the numbers across all the provinces. National, you can see that 32,928 properties, land parcels, and then the vested ones is 13,379 as per the previous slide, and then we still need to vest to the 19,000. Broad development, 24,000, and then they've only done 8,871 provinces, 111, and then only 18,500 has been done. So we need to work together and ensure that we all move at the same speed. It's not a question of us finishing first at national level and then we leave the provinces behind. So, yeah. This slide basically shows the reconciliation from the deeds registry. I indicated earlier that all the records in the deeds registry is 68 million. And then the total number of properties in the deeds registry, if you were to go then download, is 7 million. And 182 of the 7,000,000 is provinces and national. And then you've got parastatals, you've got municipalities, and then you've got private properties there which are registered in the name of either myself or Mr. Mazube or any other private entity in the country. If you look at the total state land, 182,000, we're saying 111,000 is the provinces. I'm repeating what I just said earlier on. But the reason why we keep on repeating these numbers is to show the discrepancies that we find when we reconcile against the deeds registry and what the project needs to address to ensure that we have complete asset registers. All national registered land parcels, DPW, rural development, water access, I indicated they are also custodians by virtue of the Water Act, the legislation, they've got 70,000, and then you've got rural development, which is 25,000, and then the deemed public works properties will then be 45,160. If you go to our asset register now, these are the figures that we will get, and then you will see the descriptor after the active verification, which we have already done, and we've done this desktop, we've done it internally. We have appointed contract workers who have done this verification as part of this project. And then these are all the descriptors after we have done that verification. You would find properties that are saying national, others are saying RSA. This is in my current system. Others are saying provincial properties, they are still there, which is why we need to meet and make sure that these situations go away. Still private properties, which perhaps shouldn't be there, whether it was erroneously captured in my system or not, it needs to be investigated. Other state departments, there, travel land, foreign properties, and so forth and so on. So all in all, these are all the properties that we have currently in our asset register in DPW. Now, as we meet on the monthly basis, our aim is to get this kind of a picture for all the provinces. What we have shown on this slide, though, is that in our asset register, the provincial properties that are included in PMIS, we have also broken them down into this 17 categories, descriptors, and what we find out of this is that the 50,000, which I initially mentioned, that it ought to be verified to indicate whether it goes into the provincial asset register or it remains in public works. That's the total there. And then out of that, the RSA or derivative thereof, the 15,000, which has said that it's clearly which ones are they, Robbie, help me with that one again.
Yeah.
The 15,000 there?
If I may, the 15,000 are the assets in the register that are deemed to be provincial, or the indication of provincial use, so we analyzing them to confirm the 15,878 odd. And if that is the case. The 15,000, the second column, those items, if they are confirmed provincial assets, they still need to be disclosed by national because of the national service, national treasury certificate card. The whole issue is to try and say, well, there used to be a figure of around 50,000 in the register, which has to do with provinces. The idea is to try and, you know, properly analyse to say, well, 16 is properly still provincial use, must remain in the register, and then the other two columns, the 12 and the 20 odd thousand, need to say, do the right work to analyze and say, is it in or out? I think that's our biggest dilemma and what we need to achieve by March, to say what is in and what is out.
Okay. Thanks, Robbie. So basically, out of the 50,000, it's only 16,863 that we can say it's provincial. So the other is the exercise that the provinces are currently undertaking after the roadshows which National Department had done with the provinces. So 31st of March, this will be clarified. And this is our presentation. Thank you very much.
Any addition before I give it to the member? That. But before that,
right.
I think so you can go to the first. Please start by introducing yourself.
Good morning. Good afternoon. My name is Ronnie Messner from Ernst & Young. I'm the program office lead.
From Ernst & Young?
Yes.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, the only addition I'd just like to add is that of recent, we did have an engagement with the Chief Secretary General, who has made a commitment to work much more closely with us, and by the process of starting to work together much more closely so that we align our work with the work that he's doing with regard to the state-led audits that he conducted. Thanks.
Right. Let me give you first of all, I would like to thank you once more to give us this book out. But nevertheless, it's much better because there is a person from the left and the other. So the first question which I was going to ask, that it's heavy weight when the report is from the government chief who knows exactly what it is, rather than anybody to take a document, it's actually for you. Not sure of that information which is there. But nevertheless, due to the members. But before I give it to the members, I wanted to highlight some of the background. That in the meeting on the 5th of June 2011, the committee expressed concern about the incomplete state of the movable assets register. That's the background of this one, why we called you. And then also it amounts to ignoring of the government immovable asset management act. And then also this leads to the department receiving negative opinions from the Auditor General. And then also we fully acknowledge the steps which were taken by the minister that on the 8th May 2012, Minister Musa announced a desktop exercise undertaken by the Department of Public Works with Ernst & Young and to reconcile the deeds, records and other data pages. You see, why I'm mentioning this thing, I wanted once more to highlight something. First comment, I fully indicated to you that this is not likely because we don't send you back. But the principles of this, because there is a reason why the minister decided to have other people to come and assist you. Because you ask, it must show whether you have capacity or not. Because you can raise a lot of questions to the court, but what I like normally is to give members, and then I will be the last person to take whatever. Because there are a lot of things which we, some people, you know, when they come here and present, they thought that it's just to present and go, that's all. They forgot that we make some follow-up about this issue. And because some of these things, these are your principles. Let me start from this side to the other side, the members. Let me start from Honorable Member Omiel Zane, followed by Honorable Mama Utemba, followed by Honorable Mama Ukunwat. But what I wanted to appeal to the members, they have not to keep questions. But if anybody is ready, because they are wearing a lot of things to me, I mean, you can raise with the department. Let's start by Honorable Member Omiel Zane.
Thank you, Chairperson, but you will bear with us because some of these things are obvious. Like, this one comes second on your comment. You are talking of the multiple custodians in province. And I appreciate that because before, the department could not identify those. And you are also, I want to confirmation, mentioning that you have monthly meetings. Do these monthly meetings include these multiple stakeholders which are from problems? And does that also relate to the provincial department of public work? Because from time to time you mention this constitutional imperative of you as the national department of public work unable. I don't want to say to impeach, but to get into the affairs and the running of the provincial department of public work. You always say to us, you are unable. So, I just wanted to check on that. Now, Chair, coming back to your comment, you are talking here of our concern around the completeness of the immoral public work. And you are also commenting on the involvement of NPR. My question now is, has the department, because I want us to be on the record so that it's not up, has the department contracted NPR as consultants to develop a game over the address of quality? If yes, for how long will Ernest Young be with the department? I'm asking this question for how long, based on the fact that can we ever really expect to have an immovable asset register complete? Is there a day where we ever say it is now complete? Because assets are always procured and assets are sold, assets are disposed of. So can the Department of Public Works and the project manager tell us precisely what completeness in terms of their understanding of the immovable asset register across the 9 problems and the election official offices mean. So that Chair, we don't blame them down the line.
Thank you. Thank you, Omiel Zane. and please request that the department respond to the question. Because most of the time, they promise us and they leave us like that. This is not the first meeting. From 2011, we were raising the recent issue. It's just a repetition. It's just a follow-up to us. Mama, Honorable Mama Temba.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the presentation. And hopefully, maybe one day, you'll assist us in being able to, when we walk around, you know, perspective and problems. See any difference to what is really being like. See now, lots of properties that I don't really know when will this be resolved. For example, Chair, that we always raise, there are buildings in all the cities, in all provinces, that are being vandalized. You get into town, you can't even say no. You ask yourself, who does this house belong to? Because it's not been renovated. The grass, you know, closes the house. And if you ask, sometimes it belongs to the police. If you can verify those, when are these properties going to be like verified and being taken care of? On page 16 of your presentation, the Eastern Cape, if you can verify, there is this lack of verification certificate issued to the Eastern Cape. And the sixth issued in the Western Cape. Can you really clarify this for us? Why zero in the Eastern Cape and only six in the Western Cape? And then the system of managing government property and then consists of national which is Department of Public Works, and 11 regional offices, 37 regional offices, and then Rural Development and Land Reform, the National Treasury, provincial, that is the nine provinces, and 283 municipalities. What is the progress with migrating from property management information system to public works? And are all the national departments, that is Department of Rural Development, Treasury, Public Works, and the provincial departments, plus the 283 municipalities, also migrating? And who is managing the process in the executive branch of the department? When last did the executive report, when was the progress reported to cabinet? The last. And then, are you really certain that by March 2013 there will be compilation of all these movable assets? Thank you.
I remember coming about.
Wow, thank you. Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much. I think
That is a very difficult program, and I understand what the representative tell us when she said that all spheres in government must work together to get all the information and to get this asset register in place at the end of the day. But what I want to know is, if you target a certain area, where do you get all the information from? Because I'm asking this question in my province, in the Northwest province. I know a lot of these assets belonging to the state was just disappear between people. And how do you get it when there's nothing on the table? Where do you start to get these assets back and as a state property? And how many jobs do you create with the field workers and everyone in your department now for this project? And what happened to all the data and information after 2014? When we collected everything, are we going to put it in a book, or how is it, will it be available for the public? I want to know what will happen to all this information when we finish the project. After we the completion of the project in 2014, will the department able to tell us exactly how many state land are there, how many land belongs to the state, and what about our traditional leaders and the land in the traditional leaders' hands? To whom? Is it belonging to the state, or is it belonging to the traditional leaders? How do you handle it? That is a great area for me. I do not know exactly how you're going to do that. And then you might mention a lot of times for a land parcel. Is a land parcel the same thing as a stamp, or is it a property? And I believe there's different sizes as well. How big is the smallest land parcel, if we are talking about land parcels? Just for an example, if you can give us an example. How do you handle the sectorial title properties in a body corporate? And then, on page 10, it's not very clear for me, that the provincial reconciliation. When you're talking about, for an example, education in the Northwest province, you mentioned 125. There are much more than 125 schools and colleges and everything. Is that what it means? I want to know all these figures there in education, trustees, boards. Is that the number of schools, or what is that 125? I mean, that is not clear for me. I think I will stop on. Thank you very much.
I'll give you an opportunity, but I've got that time. Maybe for the second round, because as I indicated, we need responses today, not a package. I'm part of today, because this is the second time. Last one was only
Because
what is required means as long as the properties remain unregistered, even if we reconcile the department, it means that we're just changing the level of right horse. Who's zero? Who not? What am I going to do, honourable members? You know, you see, there is a thing which was raised by one woman in the country. When we brought in the NSAs in the island, for how long? See, let me highlight this. During the prepared presentation, he raised that by March 2014. You know, some people might be, I don't say exactly, it might be they are calculating that that will be the end of our term and then everything is over. That's how I feel. But people are focused that we belong to the province. I might not come back to parliament, but I'll be there in the province. And in the province I'll be more dangerous because I'll be informed of what is happening. What I want to do, why I'm raising that, maybe it's a pretty too. Because I don't understand why we prolong the issue of accounting every time, 8 years, 8 years, 8 years, 8 years. No, it mustn't work like that. And it mustn't be measured about our term in the office. That when the term is finished, it's over. We belong to the province. In terms of the PMFA, you are our accounting officers, you must account to us. As I indicated earlier on, that I was just reminding you that this information is not new from last year, not even last year. Time and again, we're pondering, and the same thing. Then let me leave. I have questions to the second round because, as I indicated earlier on, that I thought that because this document is written NSD Young, why we requested the department to come and account. I agree, we fully support whatever initiative which was taken by the minister, but we said we want the department to come and account to us. As we are having power also to request NSD Young and come and account to us, we thought that it must be one.
Thanks, Chair, and honourable members. I would just like to deal with two issues before I allow the team to go into detail, answering the details. Chair, and also honourable members, just so that I could, to the best of my knowledge, there is no malicious intent of the indicated timeline of 2014. To the best of my knowledge, it is not linked to the term of office, but the program that was put together in terms of what is required to be done, in terms of what the AG said needs to be done and what do you think is also physically possible to be done. I think the background given by the presenter presents where we come from and what we're trying to achieve. So I want to put it on record, there is no alignment to the best of my knowledge in the term of office. There was a question, the first question, that related to the aspects of the issues of saying, does National Public Works have a functional working relationship with provinces? I'm repackaging that particular question. In the last presentation in which I made here in June, the first week of June, this year, 2012, I do believe I indicated that the MINMEC meeting of May, which was the last MINMEC meeting, had resolved that National Public Works and Provincial Public Works will start to work much more closer together, where there was an open-hearted session where MECs and also HODs had a session with the Minister and they shared their challenges on various issues beyond the asset register and how they should be working together around those particular issues. And the particular aspect relating to saying how does National actually move in when there's a need to move in to deal with issues either through agreement or either through provisions that are made available through the Constitution, as we know through Section 100. There is a task team that was put together, headed, I do believe I'm correct, by the HOD of Mpumalanga Public Works, to deal with the issues of how do we in a formalized fashion and in an institutionalized fashion, deal with issues of concurrent money. That report is due to be tabled at the next MINMAC, which should be scheduled for sometime in September. So there is a process and a task team to solve that particular aspect and also to define what it means to in an institutionalized manner to work in terms of concurrent money. So that aspect is being addressed. I would like to hand over to the team then to deal with the details of the specific questions and then see if there's anything that we need to cover. Over to you, Lawrence and Bob.
Thank you. Maybe just to add on what the acting COO has said. At the operational level, as I indicated in the presentation, to ensure that we keep continuous engagement with the province, we meet on a quarterly basis at a GIAMA technical committee with the provinces, and this is now the people that are at operational level on the property from their various property units. And as I already indicated that we have noted that quarterly is not enough. And we are planning that from now on we are going to be meeting on a monthly basis. And it's going to happen. We have put the time frame which we need to attend to. And we believe that we can only accomplish a complete immovable asset register if we meet as regularly as possible. So that was the issue on the engagement. The other question that was raised by honourable members, the honourable member asked about the multiple custodians at the provinces, whether we do bring them on board when we meet at this meeting. It is the intention. At national level, we do incorporate, for instance, the Chief Surveyor General, because I did indicate that the program that they are running is a huge dependency on ensuring that the asset register is complete because of the surveying of land parcels, which I will define later. But I must admit, we've got to do more. For instance, if you look at legislation, there is a Defense Endowment Act that gives the Department of Defense custodianship for the Defense Endowment Act. There's about 79 properties that are listed on the Act. We are not meeting with them in this forum, and this is what we need to beef up and make sure that even water affairs is included at national level, including their other custodians at the provincial level. This is an area that is lacking currently, and we must attend to it. It's been noted, and we've got to do it, and we will do it. Thank you for the comment, honourable member. This will then ensure, as the honourable member said, that we are all moving at the same speed, and we are all speaking from the same page. Because we can't say there are so many custodians, we tell them this is your responsibility, and then we fold our arms, we say do your work. We need to handheld each other as custodians of safety movable assets. The question on whether DPW has contracted Ernst & Young, the answer is yes, we have contracted them as the program management office. Not for physical verification, not as the doer to go and collect the information on the ground, but to come and set up the parameters on which we need to do it. We have been bitten in the past that when we conceptualize a program, we start by sending foot soldiers across the country and they run around. I'm sorry to say I'm going to use this acting chairperson that they run around like headless chicken, because there needs to be parameters under which they need to operate to make sure that the program is a comprehensive program that we embark. So Ernst & Young is contracted by DPW to as a PMO office. And this gap analysis that they did against the information on the asset registers, including the deeds register, as well as what is required from both asset management and accounting side. So the time, how long is the contract? The contract, as per the terms of reference, it's the 1st of March 2014, and I would like to also indicate, maybe just allude to what the COO has said there, that initially our program was even extending to 2017, because if we look at what we need to do physically, what is physically possible, oh, thank you, and to make sure that we do not give false promises to the men on the street in the country, to the citizens of the country, we had planned to finish 2017. We presented, and then the date through engagement had been put to the request of March 2014. So obviously, which would mean then capacity would need to be what do you call it? You need to have more capacity to make sure that you do what you do. And the question on whether the immovable asset register will really be complete on the 31st of March. I would say I did indicate in my presentation that it's a live document. If you acquire properties, it means your numbers change. If I had 10, I will have 11 or 12, depending on how many properties I purchase. If I dispose, whether for social purposes or for commercial purposes, according to the policy, then it means the numbers will also reduce. It's a moving target. And then there's also issues of subdivisions as well, because you would subdivide a land parcel, and then instead of having one land parcel, you would have two, for instance. So it means that it would need to be kept alive like that. There's also issues of consolidation. If you consolidate, for instance, in other complexes, like if you go to the military bases, you would find that it's a military base, it's closed, enclosed in the fence, and then there's more than one urban, and then we would have to consolidate if we want to make it one unit. So the numbers will change as and when these transactions happen, and hence I indicated that it's a live register.
I will chair. And honorable members, I think we can go around trying to explain what completeness is all about. And I've been trying to think, how do I explain this concept? It's like a balance sheet. Your balance sheet accounts for all of your assets. There's a debit and there's a credit side to it. Whether your assets increase, whether they decrease, or whatever happens to them, at the end of the day, that balance sheet, when you look on the left-hand side and you look on the right-hand side, they must be the same. They must look the same. The numbers must be the same. That is the issue that we are chasing for the deadline of 2014, starting with the deadline of 2013. It must first be complete, baseline complete. We must be able to say, this belongs to so-and-so, this belongs to so-and-so. That is what we're working toward. Once that is established, that number will never be the same. It will continuously change. But if you follow the accounting terms, like an accounting balance sheet, what you see on the right and see on the left hand side, the numbers must add up. That is what we are trying to get to, so that the numbers will just add up. And part of the presentation, if you, I hope I'm not too short the slide number, dealt with the aspect of saying we have developed, they have developed as a team, which now must go through management for us to interrogate as all the business units to see can we operationalize a new operating model. If we find an operating model that will keep the system alive, because somebody must keep that balance sheet of the left and the right hand side ticking. In the same way you have an accountant in your business who will keep making sure when you add and remove assets, that the right hand side and the left hand side actually balances out. That is the best way I can explain it from a layman's perspective. But you must first get the numbers out of them, who rules what, the topic of 13 and 14. Once you get that, from the plan is that from 2013-14 financial year, we start to operationalize. So that we keep making sure that the left hand part of the balance sheet is the right hand part of the balance sheet. Thank you, Chair. Over to you, Bob.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, honorable member. Thank you to you all for clarifying. The question was raised on where do we get assets from, and the issue of the disappearance of the assets in Northwest was highlighted. That they had been like sold, state asset had been sold unjudicial. We are aware of that issue, and what we have done, we had tightened the screws in a sense that we're saying to the department, the deeds register, rural development, how do you transfer my land, and I'm not aware. Because this thing, their ownership changes at the deeds register. So I think this is where it starts. You see, if people can have corruption, wherever they do, but the issue is when the ownership changes, it changes at the deeds register. So we had said that going from now on, the properties have got to, we as a custodian, whoever is a custodian, has got to give authority before a property is transferred into another name, if it's a state asset. So we need, hence we need to work together like that with other government departments, and we are aware of that. Some of the properties we will be able to find through this operation bring back, and others, I don't know, I don't want to say probably we won't, but if the ownership has changed, this is the program that is unending that government still needs to continue and build it on. The question was posed, another question on how many jobs are going to be created with the program. Currently, in the department, we have 21 contract workers that had been doing the desktop analysis against the deeds register, and these are young graduates. They have qualifications in the built environment, others are town planners, and they've been without a job, and we have appointed them as management trainees to assist with the project. At the regional offices, the number that was approved to assist with the vesting was 52. However, we have been having high staff turnover in the regional offices, and we're currently sitting at 33 contract workers. That is internally now within the department. This now excludes the people that are permanently employed by the department. But as part of the terms of reference for the physical, for the secondary service provider who's going to do the physical certification, which we've made it very clear that job creation is one of the key objectives of government, and the young graduates are sitting there with the papers and they don't know which way to go. So this is, we've put a clause on the terms of reference that they have got to appoint. We have put a figure, I think we said 50%, we wanted to balance, because they also need somebody to train them, they also need somebody to make sure that they are doing the right thing. So if you get all of them, then we compromise the quality, but then you need to balance, because the people also need to be trained. So we have specified on the terms of reference. At this stage, I cannot really say how many we are going to use for the physical verification. The bid for the physical verification have closed, and we're going to be evaluating going forward, and that draft on job creation is going to be looked at critically to see how we're going to empower the young graduates, unemployed graduates. Okay. There was an interesting question from the honorable member. What will happen to the information after the program has been completed? critical question, because after spending however many rands and cents, there must be value add, and the man of on the street must see the value add on what had been done, and transparency of information. We've got to make sure that people do get information. However, we've had challenges to see what happened in Northwest. Sometimes you open too much without restriction, people abuse as they come and take and eat. So we have to tighten the screws as well on the side and make sure that when this information is made available, it will be made available, but it will be more. Come again? Oh, use the other one. Thank you. In the past, the department had placed its immovable asset register through the government gazette for visibility. But we need to make sure that when we do that, we also tighten the screws that people do not abuse state land. So this process needs to run concurrently. I mean, this changing of hands, we need to make sure that all the stakeholders in the process of acquiring properties and changing properties are well aware that we working together. And the other question was to define the land parcel, and then the honourable member asked if this is a stand or what. A land parcel is basically a unit that is defined. It's a piece of land that is defined as a unit through the survey. The only way you can say the land parcel, I know everything about it, needs to be surveyed, the four corners, or if it's three, or if it's a triangle, all the corners needs to be surveyed, and you need to know how many hectares or square meters it is. So it's that unit which is surveyed as a unit. Hence, I did indicate that you would find that in some of the military bases, we are aware we do have more than one land parcel. But then you'll see that the buildings are circling across this land parcel. So what would need to be done is would be to consolidate. And when you consolidate, obviously, you get the pegs again, and you know that this is a unit. I can define it. Like here you say this is 330 mils or 270 mils, and then you know how big it is. So it's basically just a unit that is identifiable through a surveyor diagram.
Last report to cabinet with regard to this issue, I do not know, I do not want to
was also a question with regards to the request of the list of what I termed arrangements. I hope I'm not paraphrasing your question wrongly in terms of properties that we own. That list, I'm sure, that can be constructed for what to look for to the Senate committee in terms of who are our current renters, where they are renting. And also, the question related to asking, do we know of the properties we've disposed of and who are those people? I'm sure we can get hold of those records, those are legal transactions when we are disposing of a particular asset to somebody. But what we may not be in a position to know exactly who is now the current user, because it will be a function of time in terms of when they dispose of it, maybe it has changed hands or has not changed hands. Florence, are you ready to take that again? And then I'll ask this to you. Thanks.
Thank you, CEO. Through our engagement with the province, just to add on what the CEO just said, the provinces are currently using various different systems to capture their immovable assets. For instance, Eastern Cape is using Logica, and then you go to Free State, they use Premise, and then you go to Housing, they use Interland. You go to KZN, they use Premise, which is the same as Free State, and there are still provinces that are still using Excel spreadsheets, and they do not have a system. Namely, it would be Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and Western Cape. They are basically using Excel spreadsheets to register the immovable asset register. Now, through these quarterly meetings on GIAMA that we had had with the provinces, the idea was that this IE works. If you were to go there now, you would find provincial properties. The issue that we cannot confirm is whether all of them are there or not, and that can only be done after this process of the verification has been done. Already, some of the provinces are paying the rates to the municipalities through IEWACs, which we at national government is also doing, paying through IEWACs. The idea, because we looked at it, if we do not work together, we have separate systems, the other one, we're not going to get anywhere sooner. So the idea was to rope them in, and we both use IEWACs. As a click of a button, I would be able to see all the assets under Eastern Cape or Free State and so forth. So the development process of IEWACs is not finalized yet. However, the module that is working now is the one on rates, as I've indicated. So the provinces are on board, and they have warmed up to us using the system that is common. Rural development included, because they are part of these meetings that we have on a quarterly basis. So the idea is that their assets would also be there once the system is finalized, the development is finalized. What we said, as I said in earlier on, is that it is critical that we also rope in other custodians like Water Affairs and Defense Endowment Properties. I already have those assets in my asset register. What we would like to have going forward is that though there are different custodians of state immovable assets, there is still somebody that can show one big picture of how state land assets are. And this is why I indicated how critical it is that we have an operating model at DPW that will enable us to do that and ensure that these concurrent functions, we perform them efficiently and So, pertaining to the system, that's what it is. And then, the other question that was raised, what do we mean by unregistered land? What we mean by unregistered land, it basically means that it's a property that doesn't have an owner. You don't know who it belongs to. Yes, by default it's a state land. If it's like that, if no person, if Florence hasn't gone and say this is my property and it's registered in my property, then it can only be the state's property. Hence it's critical, and I compare with the chairperson that this process, it aligns with the vesting. Because in order for you to register a land parcel, you've got to survey it. It's got to be a unit. It's got to be defined. And then you can register it into a name of either national government or one of the provinces, depending on its function. So this is basically what we mean. These properties would still be in our asset register based on the function. We show them, because I know if it's a police station, it cannot be anybody else's, it's mine. So if it's a school, cannot be under the custodianship of anybody else, but respective for the province. So that's what you basically mean. It doesn't have that name on it. Rob, you want to add something?
I think that's just a point of clarity also on unregistered land. Unregistered land is likely to have been surveyed, but it hasn't been actually physically registered on deed. So it hasn't been a name. So I think what it also ties back to what Koo said earlier. You know, the whole project, or the key element of this project, is to get it right to say who owns what and in whose books must it be shown. And I think, you know, to that extent, from an unregistered land parcel point of view, we're dependent on the Surveyor General to do his job. If he doesn't complete his job, our register will never be complete. So I think we're walking that journey with him. I think there has been interaction to say, well, what is the timeline for him to complete? But until, you know, all land is surveyed, the books will be a work in progress project. But I think the critical thing for us is to at least, for that is indeed, that we at least know that. Who must show what? And I think that is what we've been missing so far. And I think the 2013 and 2014 deadlines are, as Kuz correctly indicated, those are critical for us, that at least we can say, you know, 111,000 is it really province? Is the 45,000 really national DPW? Has rural got the right number, etc.? So I think that is our real, you know, from a priority and from the discussions we've had with national treasury, you know, their comment on has been just get it right from a completeness point of view. Accuracy to know what is on there. All the other stuff can come at a later stage, but I think that we get this complete, and to that extent, I think as Florence also indicated in some of the earlier slides, you know, we are dependent on this, for example, on rural development, on the Surveyor General, on rural development registering those properties, because then, you know, only then will we know.
Okay, thank you, Joby. The other questions that the members raised was basically the issues that were raised by provinces pertaining to this to immovable assets, mainly the lack of cooperation from the user department, the capacity to implement GIAMA, and the inefficient, I'm going to call it that, vesting electronic system at rural development. These are the issues that are on the table when we meet with the provinces. Hence, I said the meeting that's taking place, that very vesting factory that we have put together, is a vesting factory which we need all of the custodians to start implementing with effect from September, cutting off the bottlenecks. Yes, it's true, we also have challenges with the vesting electronic system from rural development. It's not as functional as it was meant to be, and this issue they are working on. So when we meet with them, we ask them, now it impedes progress, so what are the other interventions that we can have? These meetings when we have together with the provinces, as I indicated. The vesting position paper has also been put together. That also highlights the whole process of vesting, and then it basically highlights all the challenges, the bottlenecks, and the intervention measures. So by September 2012, we need both as national and provincial custodians to start implementing that if we are to finish 31st of March 2014 to vest properties. But then, as Robbie has said as well, it's critical because there's dependencies, You can't vest until, unless you have surveyed the property. Because you can't vest something that you can't define, that is 2 square meters or how many ever hectares. So we are holding hands and we're working together with other custodians and stakeholders. Which one? Oh, there's 2 more. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, that's just one or two of the left out. I think from a, there was a question around why the Eastern Cape Trade 0 and the Eastern Cape Trade 6 is listed properties. I think those are the statistics that emanate from rural development. So in other words, that has been the level of activity in that province as far as the number of properties they have managed to list. So some provinces are perhaps more capacity to do this, some don't. Some are behind the curve, some are in front of the curve. So I mean, those statistics are really the statistics that are presented. And I think in working together with the provinces now to kind of get that complete picture of what is state land consisting of, you know, that and in conjunction with the vesting process that we structured to really at a deeper level from a national point of view to have more control and have better quality information going to those committees. So when it gets to the committee, it can be approved. Because I think the biggest issue we have is we have either incomplete or inconsistent information going to the committees for vesting purposes, and then so the idea is to centralise some of that quality control and information going so that when the information does go to the committee for vesting, there's at least an accurate thing go faster. I think that's been some of the problems. I think there was also a question around properties being occupied, who's in there, and then not being maintained. So part of the physical inspection process that we're doing as part of the launching of the register is to, you know, knock on the door and say, who is the user of this property? So whether it's a defense or an arts and culture or whether there's a private renter in there. And as part of that site, visible site inspection, is also a condition assessment. So when we go there, we at least know from a 1 to 5 rating, you know, is this building completely falling apart? So in other words, it needs to be prioritized for a next process, or is it in reasonable condition and can be, you know, deferred for later or for more maintenance, you know, budgeting. I think those are the last ones that I have.
Okay.
Okay.
Honourable members, no, wait for you. I wanted to propose something to you. There are a lot of issues which we can bring to form. But at the same time, we are having this national call that all of us must go and assemble in the old assembly. You're so lucky because we wanted to go deeper. I'll make an example. During your own input, you indicated that some properties have been sold, etc. That's corruption. Why are you quiet? How many people have been brought to form? For an example, we had a team which was headed by Wolf Mayor, which is of future unity. Why? How many people have been taken to him? Because another element which was brought back to this gentleman from Anastasia Young, he indicated about the Surveyor General. That is another element of which we do have the right to call them. I think my submission to the members to call them, to include them in our next meeting. But yes, I won't state what type of meeting I want to have. Because we're serious about his matter. And I would insist that we need a principal to get. That's not a favor. Because if you can calculate, since we started here, 2009, till now, some people never put their feet here. They've never been here. So, honourable members, if you allow me, that let's pose it, that for the day, it was enough for the day. For example, we gave you an opportunity, your presentation started from 10 to about 11. It's an hour. We didn't structure it because we wanted you to go lengthy. And we need this information. Like in Western Cape, we're told around to the field, a lot of land is being sold. whom you belong. To an extent, some of the land belongs to internet banks. That's why they say you strike a woman, you strike a rock. You strike the select committee, strike a rock, because we're more informed. We are from the front. There are a lot of, for example, not the same reserves from the former homeland. Who owns them? Same reserves. Besides the issue of getting land, which is under traditional leaders, which was raised by Honorable Makunuma. I'm talking about same reserves. Go to Umtetu Musha. In Pumalanga, you go to former one, there are a lot of game to game with them, a lot of game reserves. You know who owns them. Because at the end, what you see game reserve after time, you see a developer coming in. They are getting in your nose, just like this. Gone. One of the members, I think, due to the reason which I've highlighted, was still having an item which needs us to approve it. Let's allow, let's go to be with the perfect, but anytime we call it, because we need some improvement, we need some, because, you know, what guides us is the information which they're telling us, and we compare it to the last information, to the last report which you gave us. That's where we have this question, the coming, no, not the coming, the count, because last year it said 1, 2, 3, last year it said 1, 2, 3, and now we are saying 1, 2, 3. And there's something very nice which we don't know. We link with the National Assembly, and they are careful about cutting paste sometimes. Because some people, when they come to us, they do the thing of cutting paste. I don't mean you. I'm saying some people. They're taking chances. Instead of giving us what belongs to us, they give us what was left over. I can call it left over from the National Assembly. We are not so aggressive to what people are so aggressive to. Some of the departments are supposed to tell them, no, go back, go and prepare. In fact, before you come. But nevertheless, I'd like to thank you once more to avail yourself. And we have noted that same faces which come to us, they come to us, and we encourage them that it must happen. I like those who are shy to come to us. And those who are scared, they're scared, I don't know, but they are shy to come to us. But same faces we have noticed that they are coming to us. And we like to applaud you for that. But keep it up. Because this exercise is also give us, it also give you. Because the intention of this exercise is not to create or to keep somebody, but to suit their faction train, because our responsibility is to do oversight. So has this yourself in place, Una and us out there. So by saying this, thank you very much once more. And then to the members, to allow them to whatever. We'll leave you there. Thank you very much. Remember, our two-part account, we're having two sets of meetings.
Let's go to page 4.
actually this department can really be taken off, the apostrophe can be taken out on page 5.
Okay.
Yeah, because it maybe we can forget to take it out completely. Other people will read it.
When I think we might find strike throughs, it's what we call strike throughs. When something is struck through, that's something that I inserted here. That's one of the marks that I inserted, and that's what I indicated yesterday, those types of things that we cleaned up. I went through all three of these minutes, Chair, and I did make the corrections. I want to just put it on record that was done. The process is that gets edited by myself, but it goes to the secretary for cleanup. The idea is that it should come back to me before it comes here. Very often that part does not take place. So is that something that the secretary should look at?
No, I mean, let us not debate it now, because it needs you in terms of administration. Let us not agree or accept that you want us to wash your dirty linen. Yeah. Go and rectify that. Yes. This is not a train smash. I don't think it's a big deal. Just a small common error. Okay, no. Let's not debate it. I'm coming back on this. Take it cool. I'll give it to our minister. Yes. Take it cool.
Chairperson, I want to concur with you fully that we adopt the minutes, and at this level of admitting, we adopt the minutes with correction. Full stop.
The minutes are adopted with correction.
Yes.
And the seconder? Thank you. Let's go to the last set of minutes, which on the 14th August. 14th August. Do you have this set of minutes?
Yes.
First page. The meeting is here, not the second minute. I know. Okay, second page.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me, sir. I'm thinking, please. Which meeting did I arrive at? Is this the third one or the
Let's go to that page. Page 4. Page 5. Last one. Mama Teba.
Thank you. is on. You know this guy.
Yeah?
It's on.
So there's nothing now on up. Up to tomorrow.